Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, depending on where you're at in this world. This is Cal Banyan with a Meet the Pros interview program. This program is sponsored by the www.banyanhypnosismall.com, the place with the good stuff hypnotists want. Books, tapes, CDs, DVDs, articles, scripts, and live courses. It's our intention at the mall to bring you the top professionals in the field of hypnotism who can give you the inside scoop on hypnosis, the hypnosis business, our profession, as well as related topics such as NLP and self-help. I also want to take a moment and invite all of you to visit, besides the BanyanHypnosisMall.com, you're also invited to visit the HypnosisCenter.com. Lots of information there as well, and information on training. And then my blog, Banyan, CalBanyan.com. It's news and opinions and information about hypnosis. It's updated at least two or three times a week. All right. Make sure you check our Meet the Pros section on Banyan Hypnosis Mall regularly, because we're constantly updating it, not just with products but and live trainings, but also with these Meet the Pros programs. There's lots of well-known hypnosis pros that have already done these programs that you can download and listen to it at any time. Some example of previous Meet the Pros seminar givers are Jerry Valley and Tommy V, who did some wonderful free seminars on stage hypnosis. Roy Hunter, who's the expert in parts therapy. Sean Brookhouse, who teaches about Ericksonian hypnosis. Tom Nicoli, a weight loss expert. Ron Esslinger, who I like to call the king of pain management, a fellow who is just one of the world's experts in using hypnosis to manage pain. James Ramey, who is the ultra-depth expert, and more coming soon. Today, I am honored to once again have Dr. Richard Hart, all the way from New York, New York. If you can make it New York, you can make it anywhere, as they say. He's previously done a Meet the Pros recording. He was our first ever Meet the Pro seminar. He did How Hypnotists Can Become Successful Corporate Trainers and Consultants. And today he's going to expand on that topic with how hypnotists can become successful corporate trainers and consultants. And I'm very excited to have him here with us today. Dr. Richard Hart is famous worldwide for putting together the National Guild of Hypnotists Train the Trainer program. He has probably trained more hypnosis instructors than anyone else in the history of the world. We are so glad to have him with us to do this interview and to present his seminar today. Now, most don't know that he is one of the most successful corporate trainers and consultants in the profession. And today he's going to tell us how this very underdeveloped area of hypnosis in our profession is just right for some of you, and how you can break into this very profitable and very satisfying area of the profession. All right, let's see if I've got everything said I wanted to say. Oh, at the end of this talk, he's going to give us some information about his Heart System Train the Trainer program, how to become a trainer and certified corporate consultant, which is coming up this October 6th through the 9th in New York. So now, with no further ado, as they say, I want to welcome Dr. Richard Hart. Why don't you fill in any blanks that I might have left out as far as credentials, and tell us a little bit about how you got started in corporate consulting.
Thanks, Cal. For a moment, I thought you were from New York based on the intro that you did. I could have sworn I was hearing a New Yorker speak instead of somebody from Southern California. But thank you for the intro. Welcome, everybody. I want to talk today about a very serious matter, and the serious matter being money. And the reason I say that, I've noticed through all the trainings I've done over the many years that I've done them, what typically happens in a class is when I start talking about money or making money, the energy level seems to change. It gets it decreases, it becomes a problem, people become fidgety. It's almost as though hypnotists are not supposed to make money. Now, that's obviously ridiculous. But as educational director of the National Guild of Hypnotists, I've been trying to send this message out for many, many years now, that in order to stay in business as a hypnotist, you have to fulfill a lot of different, or find yourself in many different areas. Many different areas meaning more than just one-on-one or doing group work, but perhaps expanding into working in hospitals, government agencies, and most of all in corporate America, which has a tremendous need for what we do. For those of you, I assume most of you have skills. You've been trained by Cal or other people and have skills related to hypnosis. You know how to hypnotize people. That means you know how to persuade people. It also means that you also know how to teach people how to follow suggestions. Now, when we meet a client for the first time, and I'll get into the history in a moment, Cal, but when we meet a client for the first time, what we have to do is do an assessment. It's very, very important that we find out what's going on with a client. Well, believe it or not, if one would go in and meet a human resource person in a business environment, we have to do the same thing. We have to sit with that person, ask the right questions, and learn about the health of that corporation. So I equate what we do in a private session with a client to a private session with a corporation. It's the same thing. So supposing, for example, we find out in a corporate setup that there is tremendous stress, that what we do as hypnotists is exactly what we do as trainers and consultants. Because if we don't know what we're training, what the topic is, for example, if I'm going to teach stress management in a corporate setup, I have to know what the stress is related to. So I have to do that assessment not only with the HR person, but assuming they hire me, I now have to find out what is the stress of that group. The same, no different than if I'm working with an individual, finding out the individual's stress or the group that I might be working during a stress management program. And I mention this only because one of the things that's been a problem in my teaching for over the years that I've had a problem with understanding is, what is it about hypnotists that's different than other people? And I guess that brings up a whole issue here of what is it about it that there are so many complaints that they don't earn enough money, and yet they're unwilling to go out and do the things that they know how to do in a much broader arena. So I hope today to stretch your imaginations a little bit in that arena, in that place, and maybe just for a moment, you might have a question that you want to ask in relationship to them. Maybe some of you even have some answers that would be helpful. I'll open this up now for just a second to get a flavor or feeling from you as to what I've just presented.
All right, Dr. Hart, I think you can just proceed.
Okay, so I got into this, into learning how to work as a trainer. Actually, my background is in the business world. I was in the printing business for 20-some-odd years, so I always learned how to be a good trainer there. I got all my experience on-the-job training, so to speak. And I think it's important first for all of you to understand, if you want to get into this type of business, that you consider several things. First of all, are you a good trainer? And what are the ingredients? What are the things you need to be able to do to be a good trainer? So, for example, if I would say to you, I think the big idea for today is that you all learn how to do an effective group weight loss program using your skills as hypnosis. If I would present that to you today, I think you'd have to answer it in some way and assess yourself, do a self-assessment, and ask yourself, do I have the skills to do this? Number one, I said two things. I said, number one, do I know everything about weight loss? Have I done my research and found out everything about weight loss? And number two, do I know how to work with groups? And if you don't, then I think there are two things that you should do. I think number one, you do your research and find out everything that you can about nutrition, weight loss, problems related to it. And number two, how do I become an effective group trainer? What do I have to know? What books do I need to read? What kind of training do I need to become a good trainer? So basically what I'm saying, if you're interested in going into corporate America, and I highly suggest that all of you really consider it because it's no different than working with clients, and they pay a significantly pay significantly more than working one-on-one. For example, I live in New York City. My fees are $200 an hour for a one-on-one client. Now, for those of you who live in a big city, you probably know that even charging $200 an hour, it's very difficult to make a living and to pay your rent and to eat and to support a family. So it becomes really important that I expand my horizons and do group work, which I do, and get into small, medium, and large-sized companies. If I can do that effectively, I can make a lot of money. And that's what I found out about 15 years ago. Some of my clients would say to me, you know, the skills you're teaching me really go well in the corporate world. Well, I happen to know that because I come from the corporate world before I got my PhD in psychology. So I know they work well in the corporate world, but it was nice to hear them say it. They led me into their corporations. And it started many years ago with Estee Lauder in the 80s, Motorola, Mutual Benefit Life Insurance Company, and on and on and on into many companies where I started as a trainer. I started doing training programs. Now, what made me a good trainer? What did I learn? How did I know how to do this? Well, the first thing, I became a good listener. So I learned how to listen to what people were saying, because those of you who are hypnotists and work with clients know that in the first 5 minutes with a client, what tends to happen is the client will give you a presenting problem, but guess what? They'll also give you the solution to that problem if you're listening carefully. Your job then is to take that solution that they know better than you, and whether it be in hypnosis or not in hypnosis, however you do it, you're going to feed back that solution over and over and reinforce it and encourage people to start to develop a new behavior. Well, that's what the same thing is true when we work in other areas besides working one-on-one, whether it be groups or in corporations or any place. We are going to get the problem. We must find out that problem. That's step one. Now, assuming you find out that problem, you have to go to the next step, obviously, and the next step in becoming a good trainer is you have to learn, how do you interact with participants? For example, how do you, if you're going to sit and do an assessment with somebody, how do you ask the right questions? To give you a little clue as to how that works, basically my assessments work on a very simple process, which are the three fundamental psychological processes that go on with all of us all the time. How we think, how we feel, and how we act. How we think, how we feel, and how we act. If we can follow that process of thoughts, feelings, and actions, which are the three fundamental basic characteristics that go on with all of us all the time, it's going to be the most amazing thing what the information you'll get in your initial assessment. From that, you can then develop some goals. When I say goals, for example, let me relate it to something that you are aware of. Supposing somebody says they go through an assessment process where they say, well, you know, my thoughts are I'm overweight, I eat too much all the time, I snack, I eat late at night, that's their thought process. Their feelings are that they're angry at themselves for doing it, they feel bloated, and they're unhappy. And what are their behaviors? They're doing nothing to change it. Nothing is a behavior. Now, from that, I know that I have to get them to do something. First of all, I have to get them to change what those feelings are. Being angry and unhappy are not two good feelings that I think people want to have. So I have to get them to agree to do something for the following week that will change those negative feelings. If I could do that effectively, then and help them create a goal for themselves. Let's say, for example, I can get them on an exercise program for the following week. just walking. Now, at that point, I've created what we call an intervention. I've intervened with their doing nothing. They are doing something. So then I'll ask them, for example, well, what are the benefits of that? Well, they'll tell me I feel good, I feel healthy, I feel stronger, makes me feel good, and all that kind of stuff over and over again. Now, their goal, which they may have stated in terms of, I agree to exercise this week, three days this week to walk a mile, okay. Now, at this point, I'm going to ask them, what are the obstacles? What's in the way if you're not doing this? Most people forget a very important thing, that there are obstacles in the way of a lot of things that they say they're going to do. And unless we can identify those obstacles, we cannot have an action plan to overcome the obstacles. So typically what happens is people will come back the next week and say, well, I didn't do it. Well, you know, if you identified the obstacles, for example, let's say you were going to be out of town, you didn't even think about it, well, then we would have had to come up with a different goal. So most people do not have what I call vivid lifelike goals that we can identify and develop an action plan to achieve. So we've got to deal with that. We have to get people to identify what those obstacles are so we can overcome the obstacles. Then it becomes simple for us as hypnotists, because what do? All we have to do then, once we have the intervention that they've agreed to, is we have to teach them skills so they can stay on that action plan. Now, what are those skills? Self-hypnosis, auto-suggestion, self-talk, all different kinds of things that we could teach them to do this. So, really, the essence of what I'm talking to you about today involves you becoming experienced in three important factors. Number one, how to do a proper assessment. How do you do an assessment? Are you good at it? Number two, do you understand what the goal-setting modules are? How do we set goals for people? And how do we get them to agree to those goals? Not us agreeing, we're telling them what the goal is. How do we get them to do it? And then, once we have an action plan to achieve that and to overcome all obstacles, how do we get them to persist or to stay on that situation? So that's what I'm teaching you today. And this same thing will hold true in corporate America when you make a pitch to a company, whether it be an HR person, whether it be a vice president or a president of a company. I'll open it up for questions now in case some of you want to ask me a question about what I just said.
Hello, Dr. Hart. Good. And I just want to make sure I'm getting things. I want to repeat what I think might be some important points. So being a group trainer and having more than just one-on-one skills is really important. Is that right?
Absolutely. You must know how to work groups. And there are many, many books that one can look up. In a second, I'll give you the name of one. I'll have to just get it from my office here for you if you'd like me to.
That would be great. Just maybe by the end of the talk, if you could give people that reference, that would be good. Also, being a good listener and asking the right questions enables you to do a proper assessment. And really what we're doing is we're finding out what the needs of the clients are, what they've been doing, what they need to do. And really, if I'm understanding you right, they're telling us how to sell them on your corporate program. Is that right?
Absolutely correct, and no different than a client telling me what they really need as a solution to their problem.
Beautiful. And I just want to tell everyone that Dr. Richard Hart also writes for our e-zine on the BanyanHypnosisMall.com, and so there's some other articles there that you can listen to. There's articles there that you can read and study so that you can get even more information that we're going to have time for in this 1 hour. Does anyone have any questions about anything that Dr. Hart has covered so far? I just do want to say that I'm amazed at the amount of technology that's available to everybody nowadays. We've got people right now in this group who are in Nevada, Florida, New York, Massachusetts, UK, and we often have people from Singapore and Australia. It's just really great way to be able to disseminate information. If there's no more questions at this point, then please go ahead, Dr. Hart.
Okay. I was starting to talk about what is it that makes a good trainer. So let me just go down a list for you so that you understand what it is that you need to do to become a good trainer. And that becomes, whether you're training in hypnosis groups, for weight loss, for smoking, for stress, or whatever, these are the things that become the characteristics of a good trainer. Number one, you have to be able to interact with your participants. At all times, you have to remain calm. You have to be pleasant and nurturing, even when negative or hostile events occur in the classroom. Second, you need to teach what we call a performance method, which requires you to demonstrate and model and then have the participants practice what you teach them in small groups. So if you're teaching skills, it's very important for you to model for them so that they have something to go by and do it. Third, it's very important to keep whatever materials you have structured. People need structure. Structure creates freedom for many people. So you need to keep your program structured as a trainer. Fourth, you need to allow enough time for general discussions. Fifth, you need to allow time for yourself, especially during breaks. In other words, you don't interact with students during breaks. You give yourself a breather if you can. Sixth, and very important, you've got to establish rapport with your students. Now, what does rapport mean? Rapport, for those of you who have had training in NLP, know that it's the ability to get out of your own mind or your own head and into your students' or your client's mind in order to experience things from their map of the world. This enables you to understand them better, and it is really the essence of communication. So for those of you who want to teach a communication course at any hospital or any government agency or corporation, all you have to do is become an expert on teaching rapport building, because that's very, very important. And by doing this, you're teaching people to learn to be pleasant, to listen carefully, not to interrupt, to be understanding, and to be assertive. To be assertive means not being aggressive or passive, but assertiveness means being persuasive without being abusive. So those are the basic training hints that you need to know to become a good trainer. Now, why is that important? Because if you decide you want to get into corporate consulting work, first, you have to show somebody what you can do. It's easiest to show with our skills as hypnotists what we can do by training people in certain things, whether it be stress management, sales training, time management. These are the programs that I teach, for example. How to design training programs, management consulting programs, accountability programs. All of these, there's a whole menu of programs that evolve themselves around being assertive. This training you can teach. There are many different kinds of programs you can teach. But in order to become a consultant, you're going to have to show what you can do as a trainer. And that's the key to my program, for example, that I teach, is I teach people to become good trainers first and to have a menu to present to corporations. Then the corporations start to like what you do and hire you to become a consultant on a retainer. And that's the key. Once you've accomplished that, you are now working on a retainer for a company, utilizing the same skills that you know, training others in these skills, which you do anyway, you're just doing it one-on-one, and you're teaching people how to do self-hypnosis. Maybe you won't call it self-hypnosis, you call it self-suggestion. Maybe you'll be doing stress management, you just call it stress management. You'll be doing sales training, and you'll be calling it sales training, not hypnosis for sales training. My experience over the years has taught me when you go into a corporation for health programs, you can get away with using hypnosis, the name hypnosis. However, when you get into other areas such as sales and other areas, it's best not to use the name hypnosis unless they ask you specifically for that. Now, how do you get started doing this? How do you make up your mind that this is something you want to do? So I think what you have to do is ask yourself, do a real good assessment of yourself. What is it I need to know to be able to be a good trainer and to become a consultant and maybe make myself $100,000 a year, every year, consistently for the next 10, 15 years? And maybe even make up to $500,000 doing it. I can tell you that's what I've done. And I didn't do it the easy way. I learned it the hard way. I learned that one of the things I had to become was a good salesperson. That means I had to know my business. I had to know what I was doing. I could not be an amateur. Now, you should feel that way as well as a hypnotist. Being a good hypnotist means you have skills. That's all it really means. And how you apply those skills to make money, to help clients, to help yourself, is really the key factor. So the first thing you have to be able to do in learning how to do this is to develop what you call, and I get my students asking me this all the time, what I call a USP. A USP is a unique selling proposition. David Ogilvy, who was the powerhouse behind Ogilvy and Mather, one of the largest agencies, advertising agencies in the world, he ran his empire by adhering to the axiom, quote, never run an ad unless you have a unique selling proposition, unquote. Now, what he basically is saying is your USP is a brief dynamic statement that you give to define the problem that your services can solve for a customer and that your competition does not offer. For example, if you are an expert in stress management, you can offer stress management programs to major corporations and do very, very well. When I did this for years, I was earning $300 an hour doing this. I was going on site to corporations, which led to other business, by the way. But I would work a six-hour program, 2 hours a week, over a three-week period. I would charge $300, so I was making $1,800 a week for 2 hours work, basically. Now, that taught me a lot. It taught me that, number one, in going into a corporation, it's best to do things, if you can, over time. It's the same way as I tell my students in teaching them hypnosis. It's best to work with clients over time. For those of you who may not be psychotherapists, you need to understand that short-term psychotherapy is usually 16 to 20 sessions. Why hypnotists think that they should be working with one in one session and they're going to help somebody, I don't know, but that's what many hypnotists seem to think and they seem to do. The key factor is I will not see anybody less than four sessions, to give you an idea, for any kind of hypnosis problem or therapy problem. The minimum is four sessions. I like to see clients over a longer period of time. My minimum eight weight loss client sees me eight times, for example, just to give you an idea how that works. Anyway, coming back to what I was talking about, your USP, your most essential tool for focusing other people's perspectives on your services is the way you want them to be seen. So, for example, if you ask me what my USP would be for the heart system, which is what I market, that's my brand, I would tell you that the heart system teaches employees how to utilize their imaginations in order to persist at goals that they've agreed upon. So I'm teaching them, basically, how to work with their imaginations in order to persist. And I think persistence, and by the way, my doctoral work was done in the subject matter of persistence. And you know, just as an aside, it took me 12 years to get my PhD, so I assume on some level I became an expert on persistence. But I teach people how to persist. And that's my message. That's what I do different. Okay? Your USP must show your clients that they will receive an overt benefit by dealing with you. It must give your clients a reason to believe that what you say is correct. And it must inspire your clients to believe that there is a dramatic difference in what you offer over your competition. A very interesting thing just happened. Cal, you might be interested in this. One of your students in Singapore, which I just trained in the train-to-trainer program, emailed me, because I was talking to him about developing a USP, and he said, well, you know, we have lots of trainers in Singapore teaching hypnosis. You know, how do I see their USP? Maybe you have to develop a USP based on you're being up on all the last-minute research that's being developed and done in this country and in hypnosis, and you're willing to share that with students during the training. So develop, I didn't write it for them, but I said develop your USP based on your unique selling proposition, based on what you have that's different that maybe your competitors do not have. Now, keep this in mind. The rules of thumb in developing a USP are your business is right now being branded one way or another. You have to incorporate your USP, your unique selling proposition, everything you do, your advertising, your marketing, your talks, everything you do has to be updated. You have to keep your USP fresh and timely to reflect changes in the marketplace. By the way, a consultant's practice is typically as weak or as strong as the marketing efforts he or she puts into it. So all of you, if you can't do it yourself, have to find people to help you do the marketing. Cal does it so well. I've seen him grow since our initial reaction with each other years ago into what he's developed. You all have to do the same thing if you want to make money in this profession. And I'm talking about making real money. I'm not talking about struggling from paycheck to paycheck and wondering whether you can pay your rent next week. I'm talking about getting on a program where you are a real consultant, that people can rely on you for being there, for helping them grow their business. I'll take a little break now, Cal, and just I'll throw it open for questions.
Dick, as you do this, it'd be helpful for me if you take breaks just a little bit more frequently. Let me just recap some stuff that you have here. I'm curious, a lot of people don't really know what it means to be on retainer. I'd like to know, what is the consultant's obligation to a company when they're on retainer?
Good question. Working on retainer means, I'll give you an example of how I work. When I initially got involved in doing this, I was giving too much time, but I am agreeing to give so many hours a week for X amount of dollars. So, for example, in my case, initially I was charging $7,500, actually I started for less, but roughly $7,500 a month, and I would give 4 days a month for that. That 4 days being on-site or off-site. What I learned the hard way was that I was giving, because I was anxious when I started 15, 20 years ago doing this, I wanted to do such a good job, I gave them a lot more time, which I don't do anymore. Now I adhere to it. They get 1 day a week, and my fees have gone up to as high as, my highest fee was $16,500 for one company a month, giving them 1 day a week, four times. So they're getting 4 days a month. That's basically how I work. So in other words, you're giving time, and you're also writing a proposal of what that means for people. So they're not being blindsided. You have to have a plan of what you're going to deliver for that kind of money. So you will, you know, do that as well.
Okay, so if I understand right, when you go on retainer with a company, you're obligating yourself to a couple of things. One, to develop a plan that fits their needs, to schedule a certain number of hours to work with them to help them meet those needs on a regular basis. And you get to make a lot of money if you do it right. Is that right, Dr. Hart?
It's a home run. It really is a home run. And I'm not doing anything except really what I've learned in working with hypnosis.
Beautiful. One of my main goals right now as being a trainer, not just being a hypnotherapist or a hypnotist, but really to help as many people as I can do what you and I have done in this profession, that is to go full time. There's too many people out there that their heart is in doing hypnosis, and they're still, as musicians say, or other artists say, they still have to keep their day job, and they're working as doing something else when they want to be doing hypnosis. And doing this kind of work is obviously a great way to move from being a part-timer to a full-timer in a very professional manner. And as I say that, I also want to tell the group that, I've taken Dr. Hart's Train the Trainer program. It was back in 1999. And Dr. Richard Hart's systems are very systematic. They're very well developed as far as you do this, you do this, and you do this, and you get this result. And those who know me know that I'm a fan of doing things systematically. I'm well known for 5-PATH, which is a systematic approach to doing hypnotherapy. When you have a system, it can be measured and it can be improved. And so Dr. Richard Hart really knows what he's talking about.
I might point out, just when Cal says a system, for example, one of the things that I cover in my training, which I've tried to get people to do, is if I were to find out, and one of the things we talked about, Cal, yesterday in talking, is how do we find corporate clients? So the first thing I get my students to do is to identify 100 companies within their geographic reach, something they don't have to go far for. They could be small, medium-sized, or large-sized companies. Usually if it's a large-sized company, like a Motorola, for example, I can't train everybody, I'll get their division, which is in my corporate reach. Then I'm going to go onto the web, and I'm going to create a profile for each company. This is the system. I'm going to find out their mission or vision statement, if they have one, and see if I can understand what they are saying. If I can't understand what they're saying, I'm going to make a phone call to some vice president there or director of HR and tell them I'm a stockholder. And this is, if they are a public company. And this would be my starting point. I want to know what their statement is. What are they as a company trying to do? Then I'm going to create my unique selling proposition, such as a stress management program, a sales training program, an accountability program, a time management program, whatever it is. I'm going to have a menu that I then can set up a meeting with the HR person to sit and talk about that I've already done my homework with and will present it. And those are the steps. It's that simple. It's not hard. Now, again, in selling, we play the law of averages. So the law of averages mean I'm going to make so many calls, I'm going to have so much success. I've always believed in that principle, that we make so many calls, we see so many people, and after a while, and by the way, I do during my training try to get people not to get involved with making so many cold calls, because people resent it. They don't want to make cold calls. So that's okay. However, all of us have at least 10 different people within our universe that we can identify with who are doing different things. So, for example, just as Cal and I are doing things together now, I would say, Cal, you know what? You're not doing what I'm doing, but you know what? Together we can make money doing this if we follow 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and together we can make a lot of money doing this, because now Cal is going to be trained, just as he mentioned the Train the Trainer program, Cal's going to be trained in what I do. So he will talk to other people about what I do. In turn, guess what? I'm going to do the same thing for Cal. So we all have a universe of about 10 or 15 people. We should not go over 15 people that we are telling our story to and asking them to go out and talk to other people about it. This is the way I've always worked it. And these 10 people are going to go out and sell my program. So now all I have to do is I'm not going in cold anymore. I'm going to XYZ company, and guess what? Cal sent me there, or Steve sent me there. And that's what I teach in my program. We've got to learn how to network. And if we can do it right, I like the way somebody in Chicago, there's a woman in Chicago who years ago, she's a consultant. She really does good work. She doesn't call it networking. She calls it networlding. And through networking, she believes you can, within your own geographic area, do very well. And it's lots of fun when you start to learn how to network, and how I can tell Cal, I'm doing this. And we get, as Cal and I, get into these great conversations, and about the world and how we can help the world and do things, and why isn't this happening? So it's lots of fun. Anyway, Cal's going to start yelling soon, but I better get this check off here.
Yeah, you're telling all of our secrets. Yes, I want to tell everybody that Dr. Richard Hart, I call him Dick, has been a great consultant for me. He gives me advice, and all of the work that I do has benefited from it, and five pathers around the world have too. Dick, we want to kind of stay on course, so we've got about 15 minutes to make sure we cover everything in that bulleted list that we promised that we would cover, and I also want to make sure we save some time at the end of the talk for anyone to ask any questions that they might have about anything that you covered or anything they want to know about corporate consulting.
Okay, so just to review a little bit here, basically, how do we put together an excellent verbal presentation to human relations people? Basically, you do it by learning how to do an assessment so you can ask the right questions, how to determine what the corporate mission statement or goals are, and then relate your programs to them. And it's a very simple thing to do once you actually have some case studies to work with. How do we identify our marketplace and who to call on in the organization? Well, I would suggest to you that basically your first stop is always going to be human resources. I once did something years ago, which I found very effective, with Prudential Life Insurance Company, because I couldn't get to the people I wanted to. So I called up the chairman of the board secretary. And it turned out that the chairman of the board secretary knew where everybody was in the company. And I pleaded with her. I said, you know, I can't find out. I want to do these stress programs. Who do I talk to? Well, she got me the intro to that person. It's the most unusual thing that happened. And so there's lots of ways to skin a cat, as they say. How do we encourage human relations people to become your champion and promote your services to different divisions? Well, that is key. When you develop rapport with a human relations person in a company and they like you, I've done that recently, for example, with Merrill Lynch in New York, because I trained I did some coaching for one of their top executives, and we had a good outcome. So therefore, she wanted to know what else I do. I was able to sit with her and pitch to her and leave behind all the things that I leave behind about my training programs. That I wish I had one here to show you. I don't have it handy. But I was able to leave behind every training program with all the information. So anything that comes up in Merrill Lynch, she obviously is going to give me a shot at it. And that's what I'm looking to do. That's the key factor. For example, just to give you an idea of what my training programs consist of, I teach imagination and persistence in sales. I teach time valuation and time planning. I teach assessment and goal setting. These are all three-hour training modules. I teach motivation, reinforcement, and encouragement. I teach rapport building, stress management, and assertiveness training. So those are my core, and then I have a core community. Those are my core training programs. Then I have a core communications program, which is 6 hours, and I call it better communication through suggestion management, rapport building, and assertiveness training. Then I have a core success training program, which takes 6 hours, and it has 2 3-hour modules. It's called sales leadership, motivation, reinforcement, and encouragement. And I maneuver these around, but I then get a chance to pitch this to everybody, which is really significant. How do we decide on the size of a company to call on for our services? I said before to you that the key was to develop small companies will pay you on a retainer basis, if you're good, anywhere from my minimum number, $7,500 a month, is not a lot of money. I find that many small companies start up, have executives working for them who are very good at bringing in business, but they don't know how to manage a company. So for those of you who have unique experience in business, and have some business experience, this is very helpful to go in as a consultant to that type of company. Okay? How do we create a menu of workshops and seminars that you will be offering? Well, I just went through basically my menu with you. And how do we set up pricing programs? Well, pricing programs are somewhat personal. As I mentioned to you, my stress management programs, where I was getting $300 an hour, if I would go to Estee Lauder and do... I was called to go out to Jacksonville, Florida to do a one day for two different groups. Each group had 100 people in it. So I did a full day, one morning and one afternoon, and I got $10,000 for doing one day's work. Now, what I do, it's not one day because I'm flying there and I'm flying back. So in my mind, it's really 3 days' work. So I'm always looking at my day has to pay me approximately $2,500 a day. My low end is about $1,800 a day. But basically, I'm shooting for $2,500 or more. I've done one-hour programs introducing products for companies where I've been paid for 1 hour $5,000 to $7,500. I give motivational talks where I get paid up to $15,000 to do about a four-hour program. But those are somewhat different. Those are unusual. So it's all over the place as far as dollars. I'd be willing to talk to all of you about this. One of the things that I offer, which I think is unique in my CCC program, which is a Certified Corporate Consultant Training Program, is that I, after 4 days of training, mentor each of the participants personally for 1 year to get them started in being able to do this. It's a personal mentorship for me. We do it by phone. In cases where we can meet, we meet if you're in the geographic area that I'm teaching in. So that's basically what I'm offering, Cal. And I hope I've covered most of it.
Beautiful. I want to just reiterate some points that I've written down, because one of my goals in offering these Meet the Pros seminars is that when people leave the seminar, that they've got stuff that they can use today, that they could really get started in if they're interested in the message. So some things you can do to get started today are to determine the corporations and companies in your area, check out their mission statements. Make sure you develop your own unique selling proposition. Use your contacts to find ways into working with corporations, and fit the programs to the needs of the client based on your skills as a hypnotist. Is there anything else you'd like to kind of tell the group and the listeners of the recorded version of this message, the stuff they could do right away to use some of the information that you've given them today?
I think it's very important to look at your budget and ask yourself, how much money do I have to spend on marketing myself? That's really key. What training don't I have that I need to get? Do I have the educational requirements? Do I have a mentor? Ask myself, do I have a mentor? Somebody I could, not necessarily a therapist, if you can afford therapy, fine. I would go to somebody who is a good therapist, and I work with people privately all the time doing this, and career guidance and things of this type, but it's not so much career. Here it's a matter of, I need somebody to keep me motivated that can hold me accountable. There are people around, I mean, I guess we call it coaching today. There are people who act as coaches. Some of the people listening may be coaches, but coaches should really get very much involved in some of the areas I'm looking at. So I would find a coach, somebody that I could talk to, just as Cal and I talk, and we help each other, we communicate with each other, we throw ideas out, and there's no, I don't have a bias in working with Cal. And it's very important that you work with somebody who doesn't have a bias, but who can be serious with you.
Beautiful. All right. I'd like to encourage everyone that's in our virtual classroom or seminar room here to push the Talk Now button if you have a question. And if you don't have a microphone or a webcam, just go ahead and type your question in down at the bottom of the screen where it says your message. And then either Dr. Hart or myself will read that, so make sure everyone can benefit from your question. Dr. Hart, I see Debbie Yaffe has sent you a question.
Yeah, I see it, Debbie. The question is, I just joined a local forming BNI group in our town of 1,800 people. The fitness club owner in the group is interested in training with me, membership for me. My work for his ladies workout express my work for his ladies workout express members. This seems like a good way for me to start. Well, the only problem here is I used to do this in a fitness club, and I did barter for office space. I think that what you could offer in that organization in a fitness group is stress management program. I think you can offer group weight loss programs. I don't know if people smoke there necessarily. You can offer your services privately I don't know what the total dollars are, Debbie, what you're talking about here, but you're talking about doing a bartering type of thing, which is perfectly okay to get started. Gives you an identity, and you get to meet a lot of people, and I would find out where these people work. Most of these people have jobs. These people can get you into their companies.
I also see a question from Susan of Ottawa. It says, how do you find out if a corporation already has such a program that you want to offer?
Well, the easiest way to find out is to meet either with the human resource person, or if it's a health program, to go in and talk to the health department if they have a doctor or a nurse there. They may have a program, but it depends on what you offer. You may have a better program, and I think that's the key. Do you have a good program? Find out exactly what they do have, but the easiest way is to just make a phone call. That's an easy thing to question.
You know, and a lot of people think, they've already got someone doing this program. Their needs are filled. And I would say that, gosh, that's not necessarily true. It shows that there is a need, and maybe they have more need, or maybe they've become dissatisfied with the person they're working with.
See, most stress management programs that are offered out there are very amateurish. They're a lot of lecture, very little hands-on, very little real, deep, meaningful types of programs. At one point, I did a lot of research on this. If you learn how to do it, and certainly, Cal, you may be aware, I teach this in the train-the-trainer program, how to do this, how to walk away with a real efficient, for those of you who haven't taken the train-the-trainer program, you might want to consider that at some point as well, but I think the key is, what is your program? What is it you're offering? Do you have something that you can offer and say, hey, it's been done here, it's been done there? In my program, what I do is I offer in my certified corporate consulting program, Cal, a turnkey program, which has been done at all these major companies, so that somebody who's promoting the Heart System Stress Management Program is not walking in cold. They're walking in and can say, these are the people that they use them. Call these people and get a testimonial on it.
Beautiful. Has anyone else got any questions they'd like to ask about corporate consulting before we wrap it up here in just a couple minutes? Well, Dr. Hart, it looks like you have done such a thorough job of getting the information out there. There's not too many questions. Why don't you just go ahead and wrap it up, summarize whatever you want to summarize, finish up with whatever you want to finish up with, and give your last plug for the course and coming up in October. And I can't encourage our listeners enough to seriously consider this course, because some of our other graduates have gone through this course and reported back to me and told me what a fine course it is, how the information is really something that you can use to really start doing the kind of work that can take you full-time in a very fine fashion. Okay, go ahead, Dr. Hart. Please wrap it up.
Thank you. Thank you. In fact, Debbie just asked, I saw a question, to tell us about the upcoming program. That was her point. The program is a four-day program. And by the way, there's a marketing kit available with a free CD. If you go to Cal's site, it'll probably refer, and Cal, you'll just have to update this and tell me how it works. If you go to his site, it'll bring you to my website. I think he has a link to my website. And on the website, there's an offer of a free CD, which will answer 95% of all the questions you might have about the program. But just quickly, the program is a four-day program with a one-year mentorship, meaning we do a lot of training. During the training, we talk about designing training programs, how to do all the programs that I mentioned, for example, imagination and persistence training, stress management. You learn how to do a stress management program, how to do a sales persistence training program. You learn techniques for phone sales so that you can teach it as a module. You learn the Heart System. All of these are under the umbrella of the Heart System Management Consulting Program, the Heart System Accountability Program, the Heart System Time Management Program, and how to design your consulting practice. And one of the things that I do to keep, I act as a mentor to all my students. And one of the things that happens, there's an accountability form for those of you who like who don't mind being held accountable, but I hold you accountable on a monthly basis. So I know what your plans are, what your goals are. You report into me once a month with what your goals are, how you're going about it, what obstacles, what you're running into, what problems you're running into. We get you out there. We get you moving and doing it. The uniqueness of the program is that it's the only one being offered of this type that can take you with your skills. Now, I will say to you this. It's helpful if you have business experience of some sort so that you're not walking in without any business experience at all. My experience has been in teaching people that when they don't have business experience, it just takes a long time. So if you don't, I would say probably the program is not for you. Cal, I will offer, if anybody who's listening in today wants to call me personally, they can call your office as your number is listed, and you can refer them to me, and I can discuss, because there is an interview to let people into this program. I want to make sure the program is right for them. I don't want you to spend a lot of money on this program. It's not an inexpensive program, and I think I want people to make a lot of money. So, I mean, that's basically it. My next program is October 6th to the 9th. That's the only one I have scheduled right now, and it's in New York City. Sometimes I do them in Florida. At some point in the near future, maybe I'll do them in California, Cal, as we were talking about. And, you know, I think it'll be a lot of fun. And I welcome all of you to, you know, talk to me about your plans.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Richard Hart, for coming and really getting out some very important information about how to take a hypnotist practice to the next level, to the corporate level. For you guys that are listening live right now, I invite you to go down to the bottom of the screen there where it says for more information about Dr. Hart's program, go to www.banyanhypnosismall, and you'll see that at the end of that paragraph there's a link that says go there now. If you click that, you'll go there right now. Also, for the people who are listening to the recorded version of this, they've downloaded it from the website, you can go to the Meet the Pros section of the BanyanHypnosisMall.com and click on Dr. Richard Hart's picture, and you can listen to this again or any of the other pros that we have there. But if you click on Dr. Richard Hart's picture, it will be an outline of what was covered in this talk, and there will be a link down at the bottom of the page. It says, find other items by this source, writer, trainer, manufacturer, etc. And you click on that, and it'll be your instant connection to all the articles that we've talked about, all of the things that he offers on our website, including his live trainings. And if you do that, even if you listen to this recorded message a year from now or 2 years from now, it will always take you to the latest updated information for Dr. Richard Hart. Also, for those of you that want to find out more about programs or programs that we offer, such as our NGH Hypnotherapy Certification course or our Week of Power, please call us at 714-258-8380. Again, that's 714-258-8380. And toll free, you can call 1-800-965-3390. Again, that's 1-800-965-3390. And I just want to close by thanking everyone who's here live with us and asking your questions. I want to thank Dr. Richard Hart for being on our program today and letting us record this so we can make it more widely available to everyone. Once again, I want to invite everyone to visit our websites, not just the BanyanHypnosisMall.com, but my blog, CalBanyan.com, and HypnosisCenter.com. Oh, and Dr. Hart, before I go, you've got a blog also. Would you like to mention that to the group and for the recording?
Yes, two things. In fact, I promised them the name of a book. I just got my hands on it. So you might want to write the name of this book down for those of you who want to learn how to work better with groups. It's called The Group Therapy Experience. The author is Louis Ormont, O-R-M-O-N-T, Ph.D., and it's published by St. Martin's Press. The Group therapy experience. It says From Theory to Practice. It's a wonderful book that will teach you the skills you need in how to work with groups. Regarding my blog is selfhelplive.blogspot, that's BLOGSPOT.com, selfhelplive.blogspot.com. And I think you'll have fun in this. Some interesting things I've written lately, so take a look and give me your comments.
All right. With that, we're going to wrap it up for this Meet the Pros seminar. Thanks again, everybody that's attended. Thank you, Dr. Richard Hart. By the way, this presentation has been recorded and is going to be available on the Meet the Pros area. Please tell all of your friends about it. There's lots of information there from Dr. Richard Hart and other pros in hypnosis. In the meantime, this is Cal Banyan at the Banyan Hypnosis Center in Tustin, California, signing off. You guys all have a great day and a great weekend. Bye-bye.